Okay, we'll go ahead and get started here. Greetings and welcome to the afternoon keynote session here at J.P. Morgan's 45th Annual Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference. I'm Harlan Sur. I'm the semiconductor and semiconductor capital equipment analyst here at the firm. With me is Gary Dickerson, President and Chief Executive Officer of Applied Materials. We also have in the audience Bob Halliday from Applied. He is their Chief Financial Officer. Gary doesn't spend a lot of time at conferences. He's busy, obviously, driving the business, meeting with customers, and more importantly, he and the team are driving the semiconductor industry's manufacturing technology roadmaps. And, you know, it's amazing because this manufacturing roadmap, you know, has enabled all of the technology trends in the industry, from the PC revolution to the smartphone revolution. It's now driving cloud and data center evolution. And going forward, as we think about things like autonomous driving and, you know, the broadband connected home, all of that is being enabled by the systems and the solutions from Applied Materials. Now, additionally, Applied just had their earnings call on Thursday, and Gary is with us for the first time in many years because the timing also just happened to work out as well. So, Gary, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Harlan.
And then to kind of kick things off, I think since you don't get a lot of time to spend with investors, maybe you could just give us a quick sketch of your career so that investors understand, you know, what brought you here today.
Sure. Yeah, I worked in wafer fabs for 6 years. I was a litho section manager at AT&T Technologies many years ago. Then I joined KLA back in 1986 when KLA was about a $50 million company. And when I left in 2004, the company was about $2 billion in revenue. And I was on a team that invented the most important product in the history of KLA. And during that time, we invented inline wafer inspection in the semiconductor industry. Then I went to Varian, where I had the opportunity to work with Bob Halliday. And at Varian, we increased the market cap about 6x in 7 years. We increased market share from 30% to over 70%. We expanded into new markets and material modification. And since 2012, the summer of 2012, I've been at Applied Materials. So far, the market cap's up about 4x since I joined Applied. And I love Applied Materials. We are part of making every advanced chip and display in the world, and really tremendously enabling in terms of the future. So just a tremendous, tremendous amount of fun.
Great. Well, thank you for being with us here today. You know, obviously, we've been a fan of the stock. We've been overweight your stock since July of 2014. Hasn't been a quadruple, but it's been a double for us. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But, you know, and we just reported, obviously, record revenues, record earnings in the April quarter, a solid outlook for 2017. And obviously, as you know, we and the markets are very forward-looking. And the question that always gets asked is, you know, is this as good as it gets for Applied? You know, has the team, you know, wrung most of the opportunity out of the performance on a go-forward basis?
There's still a lot to go, Harlan. So basically, our markets are fundamentally better than they've ever been, and our position in our markets is also fundamentally better. If you look at the semiconductor business, and I've been in the business for many, many years, you really have moved from PC enterprise-driven cycles, waiting for operating system upgrades, to mobile social media since 2010, where the demand is pervasive, and it's driven not by operating system upgrades for desktops. It's driven by holiday season wars, basically, for consumer electronics types of devices. So the Chinese New Year, Christmas, having the right devices for that annual cycle is really what's been driving our industry. So if you look at the wafer fab equipment is meaningfully higher as you have this more pervasive demand for consumers. And also, the volatility is down by about a factor of three. And then if you go forward in the future, kind of what's next, we work with many, many large technology companies, our direct customers and also customers' customers. And as I mentioned before, I'm a technologist. I love working, focusing on inflections. And that's really what has enabled all of the different places I've been in my career to grow, is inflection-focused innovation. So what we see from customers, big, big companies in autonomous vehicles, for instance, every car company is now in Silicon Valley. You've got AR, VR, AI and deep learning, and really major shifts in industries, transforming industries and moving big piles of money in the transformation to technology. And that is really the next phase beyond the mobile and social media, where there is huge economic value creation. And we see opportunities for phenomenal innovation and really tremendous opportunities for growth for Applied Materials in enabling those major technology inflections.
You know, before we go deeper into sort of the technology areas, I'd like to talk about changes in the semiconductor industry. And you alluded to some of them, but, you know, what do changes in the semiconductor industry mean from either an absolute spending or a cyclicality perspective, you know, as it relates to the equipment industry and Applied Materials?
Sure.
And 2 weeks ago, my team and I unveiled the results of a study that we did looking at semiconductor industry unit shipment trends on a year-over-year basis and overlaying wafer equipment spending growth trends over that same period of time. And what we found is that over the past 8 years, we've seen semiconductor unit shipment growth rates trend into this very stable, very narrow band of kind of 6 to 8% unit shipment growth with very little cyclicality. And maybe not a surprise, right? The industry has matured. We don't have any one big segment of the market that's driving sort of double-digit unit demand kind of growth rates. And we have other sectors like automotive and industrial, which are becoming a bigger part of the mix as well. But what was even more interesting, and maybe not a surprise, is that over those 8 years, equipment spending volatility, as you mentioned, had been reduced by a factor of 3 times as well. So bottom line is we're in an environment of more stable semi-industry growth trends as well as relatively stable equipment spending trends. And so obviously from a stock perspective, less cyclicality means more stable trends. This should drive a more predictable revenue, margin, free cash flow, and earnings growth stream, which should ultimately impact valuations. And I'll leave that for the market to figure out when that will take place. But setting that aside, you know, first of all, do you agree with our assessment that we are in a more stable, less cyclical environment? And do you anticipate those trends moving forward?
Yeah, so again, definitely you're moving from PC enterprise, upgrading my desktop computer to this annual cycle on mobile and social media where everyone has a data center in their pocket, basically. And if you look at what's happening with our markets, since 2010, the markets have been up and the volatility down by a factor of 3. If we look at the foundry business, you've got leading edge foundry, and every week you have someone announcing a new AI chip that's as big as they can build it. That's a longer term trend that's going to be really great for Applied Materials. But you also have the trailing geometries, more sensors being built. So if you look at the foundry market, about 40% of foundry is now those trailing geometries, and there is sustainable growth in the manufacturing of those sensors. So that market is up and also sustainable growth. In the memory business, I've been in the industry for a very long period of time, and what we're seeing is growth in terms of data is accelerating, and the value of that data is also very important when you think about AI and deep learning and the trends that are happening for the future. So the volume of data is going up, and the value of memory relative to certainly storing and processing that data is increasing. Another thing relative to the memory market, in our own data center, I went to our data center back in January, and for those of you that have been in data centers, there's a lot of money spent on power management, thermal management, those types of things. In the data center with solid-state technology, we reduced the power consumption by 80%. So if the data is increasing at a high rate and the value of the data is increasing, power management becomes an issue. And then also the total cost of ownership is also dramatically less. So the memory content, the memory demand is going up, and we're seeing the biggest change in memory technology that we've seen in decades. So, and really, this is something that is great for Applied Materials. So in memory and 3D NAND technology, our customers are moving from building the technology. It's like a single-story ranch house. And you try to cram those closer and closer and closer together. But at some point, you're running into physical limits. And then what happened with the semiconductor industry was innovation in a third dimension, building skyscrapers, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's all about materials innovation, creating materials, modifying materials, removing materials. And really, the sky's the limit on how far you can extend that technology. So that those technology trends in terms of AI chips that are as big as you can build them with logic devices is great for Applied because it's about materials innovation. And Applied has by far the broadest and strongest portfolio of those technologies. Memory is the same way. It's about materials innovation. I'm sure we'll talk about display later. That's another one where there's a big wave in mobile organic LED displays. Our total available market goes up by a factor of three. And also innovation in terms of new products from Applied Materials. So all of those areas, logic devices, AI chips as big as you can build them, new memory technology, new organic LED displays and flexible displays, all of that, the foundation is materials innovation. So not only are our markets better, but our position in those markets is also fundamentally stronger and better than it's ever been.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point because, you know, as we tend to think about a more mature, stable growth industry, right, we tend to think about slower, which it is slower, but more stable, less cyclical. But to your point, right, each of those units is getting bigger and more complex, right? And so, for example, you know, you talked about artificial intelligence and deep learning, right? 3 weeks ago, Jensen at NVIDIA stood up and showed his latest and greatest AI deep learning processor. There's 21 billion chips on a single piece of silicon,
100
right?
billion vias, yeah. Jensen was out a few months ago at Applied Materials. And again, building the chips at the physical limits, packing as many cores as possible into that big AI chip, and enabling that in terms of contact resistance or leakage or power are the new materials. And Applied has a very, very strong position with many leadership products with over 70% market share enabling those kinds of new technologies.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll throw out a couple of other examples. You know, Google just announced their Tensor processor AI deep learning chip. I think they just announced a second generation version on that. I think that one has over 20 billion transistors. Broadcom, one of the other companies we cover, driving the huge upgrade cycle in networking, they've got 7 to 10 billion transistors. So we're seeing this movement of less units, but bigger and more complex, which obviously means, you know, more complex, more equipment intensity, which means, you know, better things for Applied Materials.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But that being said, on the flip side, right, what we always hear, what I hear from investors and what I hear from maybe some of the others in the semiconductor industry is, you know, a perception that Moore's Law is slowing, right? The manufacturing roadmap of the industry is slowing, yet we're seeing all of these complex chips. So how do you resolve this?
Well, I think that for Applied Materials, one of the things that I did when I came to Applied back in the middle of 2012 is we made a strategic decision that semi and display are good places to invest. That was a very important strategic decision. We drove portfolio management. We took G&A down over 30%. We moved money out of low-performing areas, and we added $600 million to fuel innovation in the company, $600 million per year in terms of R&D spending within Applied Materials, and we focused on these big inflections. So If you look at the rate of innovation, mm-hmm. what we have in the pipeline is incredible. It's really incredible in logic and memory and display technologies. But the example I gave earlier in the memory technology with 3D NAND, you went from building single-story ranch houses yep. to skyscrapers. So fundamentally, you were hitting physical limits. You were running out of electrons. And then there was innovation in terms of building different types of structures. So for us, our vision as a company is to make possible technology to shape the future. And I keep working with our teams to develop technology that enable our customers to build devices that they never thought possible before. And I look at the engagements we have with customers. They're deeper, they're broader than they've ever been. I've been on 35 flights this year. I've been to China, Korea, Taiwan, Japan, Israel, Europe, many places, multiple times, meeting with the heads of R&D of our largest logic customer, largest foundry customer. Every 6 weeks, I'll see 3 memory CEOs in the next month, along with the people running R&D. The pull for Applied Materials has never been stronger. And customers are coming to Applied Materials to focus not just on single process steps, but they're coming to us with module challenges, a number of different process steps that enable them to build structures in different ways. So they come to us because we have all of this unique technology in creating materials, EPI, PVD, ALD, CVD, all of those new technologies, innovative and unique material removal technology, material modification technology. And another thing is Applied has the most advanced research lab for equipment in the world. So we have many technology flows. And we have customers that are living in Santa Clara with us as we're developing these new technologies. And we're also very closely connected to the end customers in semiconductor and also in display technology, so that we have a very good understanding of what the future looks like and where to make those investments to enable those innovations. So, again, I personally am very positive relative to our ability to drive our position in the markets to enable at the foundation these major inflections in these major industries.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point, and 3D NAND memory is actually a good example where you're not using Moore's Law per se as we think about it, right, which is scaling geometries. You're using innovation to move into 3D type architectures that still enables Moore's Law type economics, right, without relying on sort of the line width scaling, right? I think that's a really good example.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you think about the future, again, transforming the transportation market or healthcare. You know, the biggest spending for Applied Materials are serious medical cases in healthcare. So if you can anticipate and prevent those types of cases, there's huge shift in economic value from hospitals and insurance companies to technology. In AR/VR, we've worked with companies that, you know, they want to drive a billion users. To make that happen, you have to have processors as fast as your brain and displays that are as good as your eyes. And none of us want to wear big goggles or, you know, things that are not easy to use. So, you know, we're working with those big companies to enable the tipping point for those big inflections in those other markets. So then you look at enabling the shifting of economic value in these big industries through chips that are as big as they can make them in logic or these other new display or memory technologies. It's really a phenomenal opportunity. And as I said, the pull that we have from customers has never been stronger.
So, you know, there still are segments of the market, like, for example, the logic market, right? And so Intel, we all know that Intel has talked about a slowing of its cadence on Moore's Law from 2 years to 3 years. They are still heavily dependent upon line width scaling. So how are you helping the team there?
Well, it's the same thing we talked about with Jensen on these large logic chips. I mean, there's line width scaling, mm-hmm. but just like in 3D NAND, when you want lower power or you want more performance, you know, those are really physical properties of the chip, and materials are absolutely crucial to enable those new capabilities. So we're working with customers on some very different technologies that have never been implemented before that can pay tremendous benefits for those customers, can deliver tremendous benefits for those customers. And as I said earlier, those engagements are broader and by far deeper than we've ever had before.
Let's talk about the impact on EUV lithography. You know, I think some investors are concerned that when EUV lithography is available, your deposition and etch opportunity will be impacted because EUV can replace some of the repetitive deposition and etch steps.
So if you look at the market, you've got memory. Mm-hmm. And again, I talked before about 3D NAND. The feature sizes are getting larger.
Yeah.
So about half of the market is memory, and that is absolutely not litho-driven. It's materials-enabled scaling for the memory market. And actually, I'm pretty bullish that our ability to enable those skyscrapers to go higher is unique with new materials. Enabling new types of devices is also unique. And if you look at the overall market, about 80% of the patterning process steps are multi-patterning, and this EUV shorter yeah. wavelength technology is about 20% of the process steps. So even under aggressive assumption adoptions for EUV, the patterning market is going to grow. We show pretty significant growth for our opportunity over the next several years. And the other thing is that as we have these new materials, material removal, material modification technologies, our market share in patterning is also growing significantly. We were in a few years ago in single-digit market share. Mm-hmm. Now we're 17%. We've said we're going to grow to 30% in the next few years. And we have very, very unique technologies enabling materials-enabled scaling in patterning. So that's a great growth opportunity for Applied.
Let's turn to the display business. You know, I think one of the key benefits for the Applied team, and kudos to the team for building this business from the ground up, but in addition to a less cyclical semiconductor environment, which is good for your semi business, you have diversity because you have very big exposure to the fast-growing flat panel display market. And in display, you know, one of your peers said a number of weeks back, they're tracking something like 35 OLED, you know, small screen fabs for smartphones, you know, out into the future. I think on your last earnings call, I think Bob mentioned that you guys are tracking 9 Gen 10.5 fabs for large screen TVs. I think the investment community is trying to figure out, you know, is all of this display investment peaking at the same time? Or, as Bob always says, you know, a good indicator of the momentum in the business is book to bill. And so you had a very strong book-to-bill in 2016. I think you're on track for strong book-to-bill here in 2017. And I think we and investors would just like to know, given the pipeline of programs, confidence level on maybe driving positive book-to-bill in 2018.
So display is a really great story for Applied. Our revenue is up about 5x in the last 4 years. And it's a unique opportunity for Applied. We're taking all of the materials innovation technologies that we have in semi into display. We have this broad portfolio of material creation, material removal, material modification, and we can do all of this at the atomic level, but we can also do it on a very large scale and also even roll-to-roll and continuous processing. So Applied is completely unique in our ability to address all of those different markets with these materials innovation technologies. If you look at what's happened in the display market, really there are two major drivers right now for display. One is organic LED displays for mobile devices. And what has happened there is that our total available market goes up from LCD by about a factor of 3. There are more materials steps in the manufacture of these organic LED displays. The other thing is that we have expanded our product line with innovative new products, and that those additional products in the last couple of years have really doubled our revenue. So the number of steps are going up. We've added new products that have expanded our available market in organic LED displays for mobile. And what we have talked about is that we are going to continue to build out our product line in OLED, and we will announce later this year other large opportunities similar to what we came out with a couple years ago in significantly growing the total available market for applied materials in these OLED displays. So that's one thing. Our market opportunity is growing. And if you look at where is the industry at in terms of the build-out of mobile OLED displays, by the end of this year, the capacity will be somewhere around 38%. What we're forecasting for 2021 is around 67% of the screens will move to organic LED, and it could be even higher than that. So there's still a significant opportunity for further adoption of the organic LED displays. And as I mentioned, our opportunity is also growing with new products that will expand our market significantly in OLED. The other factor that's driving our display business right now is Gen 10.5 factories. So these are much larger panel sizes. And what's driving that is the size of televisions. Over the last 3 years, the average television size has increased by about 5 inches. So if you look at building 65 and 75-inch TVs, it's much more cost-effective on these larger panel sizes than it is on the smaller panel size. So that's where the other part of this is for the televisions. You're seeing for LCD displays an increase in the number of those types of factories. And again, we think that will go on for a number of years in terms of the build-out on the TV side and also on the organic LED side. So the market, we think, is overall much stronger than it's been and will continue to be strong. But our position within the market is also growing with these new opportunities that we'll announce later this year.
Got it. Thank you for that. You know, and one of the trends over the past few earnings calls, as we've done, you know, our own sort of primary research, is the area of China, right? I mean, investors and sell-siders like myself are very excited about China, both in the area of semiconductor, in your semiconductor systems business, as well as in display. But at the same time, we do worry that China may buy too much, they may ramp too fast, maybe leave us with some big, you know, overhangs of capacity going out into the future. How do you see things playing out in China, both from a semi perspective and from a display perspective?
Sure. So our position in China is very strong from a market share standpoint, both in semi and display. We're in a very, very strong position. It's higher than our overall average within the company. And our business in 2017 in China is a little over $2.7 billion we anticipate for this year. The semi business, if you look at 17 versus 15, is up by about a factor of two. Display is up 50% and service is up 50%. And when I look forward, I spend a lot of time in China. I'm actually joining the U.S.-China Business Council in the beginning of June, and I'll be part of a delegation to Beijing toward the end of June. But we're very, very closely plugged in to semiconductor companies with very high share, display companies with very high share. What we anticipate is that there will be an increase in spending. There's a big gap between supply and demand in China, and also a strategic focus on a secure supply chain. So there will be an increase of investment. And we track many, many projects, and we look at what we call highly likely projects. We do a risk adjustment of all of those with certain criteria. And then there's kind of an upside case for those. So you hear some really big numbers. in terms of growth in China. What we anticipate for 2018 versus 2017 is that the wafer fab equipment spending will go up maybe $1 billion to $1.5 billion. Most of that coming from domestic suppliers in memory and foundry. So that's what we anticipate. And again, we track statements and we track upside forecasts. We right now don't see that kind of explosive growth. Mm-hmm. We see steady growth, big focus on the secure supply chain. And Applied is in a great position. Again, we have a very strong organization in China to work with those customers as they're ramping these new facilities. The other thing I would say in China is that I talked earlier about the foundry market. Yep. And the growth in sensors. And that's trailing geometries. So that market is growing also in China. I know people are concerned
right.
about overspending and having a big bubble in China, but semiconductor is very different from some of the other industries where those big bubbles happen. So if you look at the solar market, for instance, solar is 10 process steps. It's very, very, very simple technology. Semiconductor technology, especially at the leading edge for memory and for logic devices, is very, very difficult and very complex. So it'll take many, many years for that capability to come up to the point where that technology can be produced in China. But the pilot lines, we believe the pilot lines will happen. We believe that there is a deep conviction to create a secure supply chain, and that market will continue to grow in China. But again, we do track many of the upside cases. So we think $1 billion, $1.5 billion in 18. Certainly we think 19 will continue to be up in terms of wafer fab equipment, which will be additive on top of the other trends that we talked about.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about the financial performance. Let's talk a little bit about the financial model. You know, the team laid out their financial targets back in the analyst day, back second half of last year. Given the results this year, I mean, you're already ahead of your 2019 targets and you're ahead of your 2019 bull case targets from an earnings perspective. Your gross and operating margins are actually driving higher than that bull case scenario for the margins.
I think that's a good thing, Harlan.
I think it's a great thing. But we and the market are always forward-looking, and so I think the question is, where can the business model go from here?
You know, I think Applied has never been in a better position. If you look at waves, big waves, again, AI chips as big as you can build them, new memory technology, as data is increasing and the value of the data is increasing, the new display technologies, China as a growth engine, all of those areas, Applied is really at the foundation of all of those different opportunities, all of those different waves, and really in a unique position. Our ability to enable inflections for those big AI chips or new memory or new displays is very unique versus any other company. Mm-hmm. And the pull that we have from customers is tremendously strong. We're certainly ahead, as you said, of the 19 model. We'll have another investor meeting in September, and you know I think that we will be updating that model at that time. But fundamentally, our markets are stronger and more stable.
Yep.
They're less volatile. Our position in those markets and our position in these big waves is by far better than it's ever been, and very unique.
You know, on the topic of margins, what I typically hear from investors is that with the consolidation of your customer base, that they have a lot of pricing power. You know, you have five big, large manufacturers that spend 90% of the equipment dollars out there. They should have a lot of pricing power. Yet your margin trajectory has continued to go up and again, sort of, you know, beyond record levels. How's the team been able to manage this?
Well, I think there's been great execution in terms of cost reduction mm-hmm. in the company. We've doubled the rate of cost reduction. So, You know, certainly that's part of it. But our strategy is inflection-focused innovation. So if we can enable our customers with memory devices to build those memory devices in a new way, where that's creating new markets for them and creating great value for them, or if you can enable customers to build these big AI chips that will transform industries or new display technologies. Again, our focus is enabling our customers' success through innovation. And again, that way we're sharing the value with customers as their businesses are growing, as we're enabling these major inflections in our world. That's also great for Applied Materials. And I really deeply believe that that pace of innovation is accelerating.
Let's as our final topic, let's talk about capital allocation. The team has returned over 100% of its free cash flow back to shareholders, I think, over the past 5 years. How do you think about investing in the business versus returning cash to shareholders? And then the subject always comes up of buybacks versus dividends.
Yeah, so as you said, over the last 5 years, we've returned over 100% of free cash flow. We're in a tremendous position. We're generating a significant amount of free cash flow. And I deeply believe that our position will continue to improve going forward. One of the things that we're looking at is tax legislation, repatriation of cash, whether we end up with a territorial system or not. So I anticipate that we will continue to return a significant amount of free cash flow to shareholders. We are looking at legislation and trying to understand really how that unfolds before we make any changes in our approach to returning cash to shareholders. So again, I think I anticipate that our opportunities have never been better for generating cash. But we would really like to better understand the new legislation before we change any of our policies.
Great. We're out of time. Gary, thank you very much for your insights, and best of luck to you and the team here in 2017.
Oh, thank you, Harlan. Thank you very much. Thank you.